Thanks for downloading the Overdrive podcast. Do not forget to follow us on Instagram at TSN1050, where there will be Insta stories, some best of clips from the show, and some very cool contest opportunities to win tickets and more. Again, on Instagram at TSN1050.
It's time for Toronto's Top Line.
Strutty, last question before we let you go. You got your tight jeans on today for the ladies.
But they sprayed them on. And honestly, I was just in Costco. There was a few rubber necks going on, as you can appreciate.
Breaking necks at Costco in Edmonton.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050, the official voice of the Leafs.
Happy Family Day.
I'm not happy today. How about this? I got three kids. Mulls has a kid. You have a kid. Fergie's got kids. No one wants to have kids with these other two mutts. Why are we here today?
Because Jonas Siegel's in here from The Athletic.
Then and let if Jonas him do the show here, with Myrtle. Well, he has a kid, too.
You would pass over the reins of your show to Myrtle and Jonas.
Do you have pink eye or something?
Yeah, something's going on with my left eye.
Dude, I'm not kidding. You got to get out of here.
No, it's not pink eye. It's not. I've had something. I think what I have is like a poppy seed in my eye.
A sty?
How did it get in there?
Well, I had a bagel earlier today, and I was messing around.
Still doesn't explain it.
I'm telling you, I think I was eating the bagel. It got stuck on my fingers. I must have gone in for a scratch, and there's like something kicking around in my eye.
Who cares about your eye? I'll tell you this. There's supposed to be a holiday, John Baptiste, in June, because I was at an autograph signing today.
John Baptiste, what is that?
Just listen. And they were like, you got to go into work today? I'm like, yeah, I do. It's a joke. It's a joke that our company, Bell Media, doesn't celebrate Family Day.
Well, because it's a national company, and this is a provincial holiday. We've told you this before.
Dude, also, you realize who people who don't have kids have families,
Jonas,
right?
Be quiet. I'm in no mood for anything. Anyway, I told this person, we have to go into work on Family Day. You got kids. Mulls does. Fergie does. I do. And we have to come in here. Mm-hmm. But the lady said to me, you guys get John Baptiste off. So in June, the third weekend of June for John Baptiste, I'm off. I'm out of here.
You're out of here for the whole summer, a week after John Baptiste.
Do you think I care?
Yeah,
I think I have another greasy thing to tell you right now.
Oh, yeah?
The Friday before I go on March break, I have an autograph signing that starts at 7. I'm out of here at 6.
I don't think so.
6:30.
I don't see it happening. I'm sure 6:30. We have something planned.
Okay.
Well, I'm glad Jonas is in here. I'm glad you're here.
I don't care either of you are here. I don't want to be
here. Well, that's fine.
It's a joke. We're here on a family
day. That's great, but you're here now, so it doesn't matter. Now that you're here, you've got to...
Let's mail it in. Let's play some audio. Let's get Josh Donaldson on tap.
We're going to play some Josh Donaldson audio. We've got a lot of things to discuss.
Play a bunch.
I've got some trivia I might throw at you guys. A little bit later. We're going to pit the two of you together because it's a big week here on the show. On Friday...
You know you're my guy. You got to get Mulls to ask the questions.
No, because you... I think Masters...
Get his pigeon buddy on the line and we'll get him involved.
No, we're going to do it for real on Friday. Like, you're coming back in on Friday.
Right.
And Jonas is going to bring Masters in with him. 6 o'clock Friday, we're doing the rematch of trivia. Noodles is going to be in here. Kara Wagland's going to be in here, I believe. I don't know if we've confirmed that. But let's assume Kara's going to be in here. But I figured to get you guys going a little bit, maybe in the 6 p.m. hour, we'll do a couple of rapid-fire rounds between the two of you.
I'll tell you what, we're taking calls today and playing audio.
You know what we will do? We will open the phone lines at 416-870-1050. If you have something you want to talk about.
What about the Leafs? Tell us what your thoughts are on the Leafs, the deadline coming up, their needs, their wants. What you think they should get?
Well, Jonas was in the building in Pitt and in Detroit last night. I thought they were both really entertaining games. Very entertaining games.
I will say this. This is the only effort I'll put in this show. Babcock said we want to send a message to Lou about what we want at the deadline. I think the loss in Pitt was the biggest message sent to Lou.
Okay.
Do you know why?
Because of the defensive breakdowns?
Yes. There's your message to Lou. Without even winning a game.
Well, here's another message.
Wait, didn't they know that already?
Well, if you look at the last three games, there's the 57 shots against.
Yeah.
There's the 5-3 beatdown in Pitt. And they squeaked one out in Detroit where Big Poppy That's his new nickname.
That was a great goal.
That was an amazing goal.
Although I think the Marner goal might have been nicer. The Marner goal was a beauty.
See, I'm starting to get engaged in the show, and I don't want to be.
Well, this is a topic that I want to throw out to the people. 416-870-1050. Which line do you think will be more productive over the final 21 games? The Matthews line or the Kadri line?
That's a dumb question.
I think it's an interesting question.
What about wants and needs for the deadline?
Throw that in there, too. But we know what the wants or needs are. I would suggest, in terms of a message out of the weekend, the louder one came out yesterday. Do not touch Luke Glendening. If they trade for Luke Glendening, he's got 3 years left at like $1.8 million. If they pay anything for that, it's an abysmal trade. Yeah. I wouldn't touch him.
He's Babcock's second son, though.
But that's the problem.
Zach Hyman is his firstborn.
No, I don't know. I think Glendening might be.
Glendening might be more popular in the Babcock family tree.
But
loves him.
Here's the one thing that's kind of raising my eyebrow with this thing. When do we ever know about anything that Lou is doing? Never.
And you never will.
So doesn't it make you kind of think that maybe, I don't know. Like, it makes sense because we know Babcock loves Glendening. But I get a little nervous when we think we know stuff because everything they do, we never hear anything about.
So what do you? Why do you hate Glendening? You just watch the game and you're like, I don't want this guy.
No. I think he's a fourth line. That's his ceiling. He's a fourth line guy. Yes, you know, decent skater.
Has three
checker,
more years on his contract.
But he's got three more years at 1.8. I think I don't like the idea of bringing in someone that Babcock is in love with, that has a ceiling of like a fourth line guy. I would prefer to avoid that. But if you're going to acquire him, like I think Cervelli was reporting today, the Leafs were going to offer them a fifth rounder in Holland, and the Wings came back with a second rounder. I'm not paying anything for Luke Glendening. A fourth liner with term? I'll take him off your books, is the way I would sell it.
Well, what if you can move a fourth liner with term on your team?
Who are they going to take? Matt Martin? Is that what you're suggesting?
I don't know.
That's not going to happen. Because Martin's got two more after this at more money.
Yeah.
I can't picture a scenario where Holland takes it, but maybe that's how you have to pay more or why you would have to pay more, like a second rounder or whatever. But I look at Luke Glendening, and he's a pro. He's 28, but he's a fourth-line guy.
The problem is he's not an upgrade on what they have.
I don't think
he is either. I don't think he's better than Dominic Moore.
I'm not convinced he is either. I know maybe Babcock thinks he is.
Right.
But
And you know what? Like, Jeff is talking about what they need, and you're talking about like Mike Babcock and the players he loves. One guy he loves, and you go back to the defensive issues, Nikita Zaitsev has struggled, and he's struggled since he came back. He struggled
before the injury, he struggled.
And that's the danger of, I don't know, with players that a coach loves. Like, they sign him for 7 years. I don't know. I don't know what I'm trying to say, he's a really good example of someone that Mike really likes. Mm-hmm. And really trusts, and he looks good.
It wouldn't be bad to kind of have a right-handed centerman to take some draws on the strong side in your own end, but I don't want 1.8 for 3 years.
Three
centerman.
More after this, yeah. And exactly. I don't think you should be that committed to almost anyone on the fourth line.
Do you guys
line.
Not ever wonder, like, how the hell did that guy get that contract?
Like, Kenny Holland.
I know, but when you're in the meetings, it's like a fourth-line centerman. Yeah, give him like 4 or 5 years at 1.8. I'd be like, no way, man. I'll find some dude for it.
Well, they did that here.
$800,000.
They gave Matt Martin 4 years and $10 million. He's a fourth liner.
Mm-hmm. No, it happens.
I mean, good on him. I like Matt Martin. I think he's going to be in the playoffs. I know you don't believe this, Jonas, with all your number crunching. It's a physical grind, and you need that presence.
But the problem is he's playing 7 or 8 minutes. So wouldn't you rather have someone who's bit more skilled, bit faster.
But in a war, do you not think he can play 10 to 12 minutes in a war and be a presence?
Can he play 10 to 12 minutes against Tampa?
Okay, you can think whatever you want.
No, but like, answer that. Like, can he play 10 to 12 minutes against Boston?
Well, I think he would be very valuable.
He can, but should he?
No, I think they have the optimal lineup right now. But what I would say, I'll tell you when Matt Martin popped into my mind.
I know which game you're going to talk
about. Ryan Reeves, third period Saturday night. And I'll guarantee you Babcock thought, you know what, if Martin's on the ice, he goes and challenges Reeves to a fight, and it never leads to the goal.
Yeah, that's...
Honestly, though,
really the way you want to run your team?
I'm just saying, that's the way a lot of coaches think. Ryan Reeves is worse than Matt Martin, or maybe the exact same.
Similar, yeah.
But Ryan Reeves factored into the game-winning goal by being aggressive, by being physical, by laying out, who was it, Connor Brown he hit?
Well, it was against the fourth line.
It was the fourth. So maybe it was Kapanen that he laid out.
Fourth line on fourth line.
And I'm with you. I don't need Matt Martin in the lineup. Sure. I think what they have is what they need. But I guarantee you Babcock looked at the impact Reeves had, and he said, you know, that's kind of what we were hoping to get out of Matt Martin.
Yeah.
That big, physical, intimidating factor.
Well, and any time I'm sure he watches Connor Carrick lose a puck battle, he thinks, that's why I have Roman Polak.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's a tough thing, like, when you have a powerful coach, like, and a good coach.
Yeah, he's basically, by the way, a coach slash assistant general manager, is he not?
He's going to get what he wants, wouldn't he?
I would think so.
I don't know. Like, it's tough. Like, it's like that. What's that saying? Like, if you're going to be the chef, you want to be able to pick your ingredients.
Well, that's the Bill Parcells line. Yeah,
right.
If you're going to let me cook. At least let me get the groceries.
And So the danger is, like, we saw it here with Randy Carlyle. Like, he over depended on Jay McClement. He was playing him like 17 minutes a game sometimes.
Well, and he wanted Fraser McLaren and Connor Orr in the lineup.
Right.
Colton Orr.
Colton Orr.
And the thing is, Lou is supposed to be like this countervailing force. That's just an idea.
I think Babcock still has to realize he's the head coach. He can ask for whatever he wants, but I don't think they're going to make a trade specifically because Babcock wants Luke Glendening. He'll make his case, and then Lou will determine whether or not he's accepting of that case, and furthermore, if he's willing to pay whatever the price is. Because Babcock can say he wants Luke Glendening. You're not giving up a second rounder for him.
Okay, so what if you give up a fourth or a fifth?
Well, they might do that.
What's the difference? I'm not.
What do you mean? What's the difference between a second round pick and a fifth round pick?
Well, that's another story. But not in terms of the trade. The difference I'm saying is, if they trade for him, they're getting a guy that Mike likes.
Absolutely, yeah. But there is still a price that they're willing to pay and not willing to pay just to appease Mike Babcock.
I think they've actually shown that after, like, I think someone tweeted this out today. After like the 24th pick of the draft, basically what you can expect to get from a draft pick is the same.
It's a coin flip.
Mishmash.
And yeah, like it's all the same. Mm-hmm. Like you could pick a guy at 30 and get a guy at
after what did you say 24?
Yeah.
Well, getting back to your earlier point
was 21,
and what you had to say about how you don't have much faith in a rumor or report featuring the Maple Leafs in a trade.
I trust Frank Saravelli. I just like Lou doesn't let anything get out.
But here's what I would say about it. Is there's maybe two or three GMs in the league who would say, Lou, I don't care if that's your rule.
Yeah,
and one of them would be Ken Holland.
Yeah, because he does not give a rat's ass.
Like, if Lou calls up John Chyka and says, if this gets out, the deal's off the table, I don't think Chyka's going to tell anyone. If Lou threatens Holland, Holland would be like, who are you, Lou? Like,
I've heard Lou and other GMs in the league. They'll say, who's in that room? Who knows about this? Because if it gets out, it's off, and we don't deal with each other anymore.
But I don't think Lou would do that to
Ken
Holland.
Dude, you got pink eye, man. You got pink eye.
I don't have pink eye. I'm telling
really?
You.
Really? Mullis, come in here and look at this guy's eye.
I've been rubbing my eye all afternoon. But
that's called pink eye.
No, it's not. You don't even know what the symptoms are of pink eye.
I do.
No,
you don't. It's a red as hell eye like
yours. I'm telling you, dude. I've been itching my eye because I have something in my eye. I have something in there. It's not Bob Costas at the Olympics.
Give me that pick of Bob Costas, because this is you right now. You are Bobby Costas hungover, or Troy Aikman in Denver. He had some eyeballs going that were outrageous.
Speaking of hangovers, did you... Like, the rumor out of the All-Star game yesterday was that Jimmy Butler didn't play.
He needed rest, though. He said, I just needed rest.
But
to me, that's code for I was
You're so hungover.
Good.
You've been in L.A. for 3 days.
Yeah.
You literally woke up in the Hollywood Hills at 9:30 this morning, so hungover. Or you went to bed at 9:30 this morning in Hollywood, and you're not playing. Like, and you just told the coach, you're done. You're not playing. I think that's probably what happened.
You think there's
Do you know
wrong
that Hollywood
that?
Hills kind of L.A. area was almost the end of my career?
No.
I got sent to the minors for one game. And I got a phone call, get to the airport, you're going, thank God Robert Kron broke his ankle. Because I got called and said, get to the airport, we're going to L.A. And it was a rager night, because we had a day off the next day. Or no, we practiced the next day, but it was kind of one of those...
Everyone knew it was coming.
But I ended up in this place, I don't even know where this is, Studio City, California, with one of my teammates, name not to be mentioned. And I woke up on this couch in Studio City at this girl's apartment, and I go and grab the guy, and I go, dude, It's 9:15. We've got an 11 o'clock practice. We get in this old school Trans Am, and this girl said, look, I'm going to try to get you to the LAX airport or Hilton, whatever it is. We get on the highway, and it is gridlock. And I'm like, my career's over.
You're going to miss practice in
my LA. My first day back from the minors, I'm going to miss practice completely. She's like, it's probably going to take us an hour and 45 to get to the hotel. I'm like, we're on the ice 15 minutes after that. She goes, I'll try one other kind of back route. She got off the highway, and she wheeled through some streets. And Paul Maurice and Randy Lattisore were in front of the bus. And this Trans Am goes right in front of the bus, like the Dukes of Hazzard, and squeals her car. And I get out with my teammate right in front of my coach. And he's just looking at me in disgust. My first day back in the big leagues.
How hard did you practice that day?
Dude, some of my teammates just got off an airplane from Vegas at 8 o'clock in the morning, and they were still drunk.
So everyone was in the same...
It was a yard sale. It was gross.
Headspace.
I was actually one of the better guys on the ice.
All right.
And then I went and played 18 holes at Sherwood Park.
Phone lines are open.
Yes.
416-870-1050.
You've got pink eye.
I might have pink eye. If I do, I'll be leaving soon.
Apparently, it's highly contagious.
Oh, no kidding. That's why I want him to leave. Look at his eye, Jonas. Do you not notice anything?
Let me take a look at this. You guys speak among yourselves.
Jonas, look at this guy's eye.
It's very red.
No, that's not. I know what that is.
Oh, really?
It's an
bird seed.
There's a poppy seed somewhere back in the retina.
Who in the hell gets a poppy seed in their eye hole?
I'm telling you, man, I can feel it.
Jonas, have you ever heard of that in your nerdy adventures in life?
My nerdy adventures, no.
It's family day. I know what's up. It's all good. Donaldson speaking about his contractual setup with the Jays. We'll tell you about that. Duffy's going to be in studio. Steve Phillips coming up. Jonas is in here, the O-Dog. It's family day. Leafs went 1-1 over the weekend. They're back in action tomorrow night. The Olympics continue. Lots going on this afternoon. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app. James Duffy will be in studio at 5:30, and he just sent us video of the skiing half pipe and a contestant that went down the half pipe, but actually didn't do anything.
She must have been drunk or high. Why would you do that to yourself?
It's the strangest video. Like, Duffy wants to get into it more.
It's goofy.
Yeah, Duffy already did post it on his Twitter account. We'll talk more about it when he gets in here at 5:30. And the Olympic hockey continues. The women are off to the gold medal game. We knew that was coming. And the men just kind of plug along. They beat Korea yesterday, but they didn't smoke Korea. Like, that Korean team would be the exact same if the NHLers were there or not. And this contingent of Team Canada beat them 4-0. If Crosby and McDavid were there, I would think it would have been like 15-0, 12-0. I don't even know what that score would have been.
And we got to get into this story out of Moscow. A lady tried drying her underpants on the airplane vent. And we have to discuss if we think that's okay.
Middle seat flight to Russia.
Grabs the underpants, puts them up to the fan for the everyone on the bird to see. It's like, is that okay?
For like 20 minutes, she had her arm up. It is quite the scene. There's a lot to get into today.
Would you say anything is the question?
No, I wouldn't care that much. I wouldn't personally care.
But wouldn't you just out of curiosity say, miss, what are you doing?
I would like to know the backstory.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say anything don't do that. I would want to ask her,
why are you doing that?
Yeah, explain to me why you feel like it's appropriate for you to dry out your underwear for 20 minutes on this flight to Russia. Explain to me why that vent needs to be used by you.
I love that.
416-870-1050. Text us 105050 with your name. Email us live at tsn1050.ca. And we got a couple of people calling in.
All right, let's hit it. Who we got?
Trevor in Whitby is up first. What's happening, Trevor?
Not too much, boys. Oh, I feel your pain, but it's raining out there. Wouldn't even be a good day on the slopes, you know?
That's true. You couldn't snowboard in this kind of weather.
I don't care. I'd be on Netflix. Anything.
You'd be working on Netflix.
What would you be watching?
Me? That's none of your business. Nothing you'd be familiar
with. You have really private habits on Netflix?
Very, very private habits on a laptop or Netflix that you're not familiar with.
What? Jonas. There's nothing available on Netflix that's remotely X-rated or offside.
Anyway, Trev, what's on your mind?
I don't know. I just, the past couple games, and I like Leo Komarov, probably not as much as Babcock does, but it just watching him miss two wide open nets, and I'm sitting there thinking, like, why is he the first guy that gets to play with Big Poppy when Hyman goes out with a little injury? How come it's not a guy like Kapanen? Like, I think he would have buried that chance against Pittsburgh. So I'm just, and then it made me think, like, he is like Uncle Leo from Seinfeld. It's kind of like, ah, not this guy again. Like, hey, it's Uncle Leo, you know?
Yeah, well,
okay, so what's your gripe? Like, what do you want them to do with this Uncle Leo?
I just,
Leo?
like, you know, Kapanen is sort of buried on the fourth line. Like, maybe give him a chance with some of the playmakers instead of, like, Komarov is your next guy up, you know? I just, it's like I need to see something. The two open nets, just, like, they're in my memory from this weekend, and it, like, hurts me to see guys miss wide open chances when you have like your skill guys putting you in a good position to score a goal.
Well, that did happen twice.
Well, I mean, the guys on the fourth line, it's like he can't go any lower than that.
He's saying on Saturday night when Hyman got injured, they moved Komarov up.
Right.
But when, you know, late in games, they move JVR off that line, they move Komarov up. But that's the Babcock philosophy.
I'm getting kind of the sense that everyone's kind of turning on Leo Komarov. It's like he was this fan favorite.
It's a little over the top.
Yeah, it's a little over the top. Yeah. Like, the guy missed a couple chances. He's not a goal scorer anyway. I know they were kind of egregious chances where it's like, okay, you're in the NHL, put that in, but Let's relax a little bit.
I think it's honestly, it's retroactive criticism of Babcock is what it is. I'm totally fine with Komarov. I think he's an elite penalty killer. I think he's a quality checker. He's not going to cheat you defensively. He doesn't jump the zone. He's not looking for offense. No. He's reliable. But he's exactly where he should be. 10 minutes a night on the fourth line. And I think I can tell you my own experience.
The prior discussion at $3.8 million, no, 2.8?
It's 2.8 or 2.9 he's at. Can't pay that.
No, not going forward. You have no chance.
Right. So I think the reaction, and I have the exact same reaction. I tweeted this out last night. This guy played 24 minutes in a game like a month and a half ago. That's outrageous
for a fourth line player. Since they made the change, they're 10-2, I think.
I think guys have been slotted properly.
Well, but the other thing with Kapanen that people seem to forget, like in that game, A, they needed a left winger. Kapanen's a right winger. B, their other right wingers are Nylander, Marner, and Brown. He's not playing ahead of any of those guys, and rightfully so. Like, that's where he is right now. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
He's slotted where he should be slotted.
Slotted, properly slotted.
Although I'm glad that you brought up the Hyman conversation, or him getting injured. Because I think we experienced over the weekend the double standard that comes with concussion talk depending on the style of player. Because if that was Matthews that took that hit, and that was vicious, the way he went into the boards and the way Mata hit him, and he left and he came back, pitchforks would have been set up around the ACC. How do you let him back on the ice? How do you play him in Detroit the next night? Why are they taking liberties with the health of Austin Matthews or Marner or Nylander? Because it's a grit-grinding blue-collar guy,
you're like, get him back out there. He kind of deserves that. He's a gritty player.
Or just put him back out there. Add that to his resume that he's tough enough to come back from that kind of hit.
I was shocked that he came back.
So was I.
Because he was grabbing his head.
Right.
And once you do that, it's supposed to be game over.
Yeah.
But honestly, imagine the piece you would have written if that was Matthews, and he came back, and then he played the next day. Well, no one even discussed the idea of Hyman not playing in Detroit. Nobody.
Wasn't it comparable to what happened in Pittsburgh when Matthews did get hurt? He got hit by Riley, kind of looked like a little bit out of sorts, played because the time frame was really short between when they would have looked at it, and then the game was over. You didn't even know that anything was wrong, and then he would just disappear.
They played Edmonton the next night. He wasn't playing.
Yeah.
But Babcock was like, well, we'll see. It's a game-time decision. But
I don't know. The concussion protocol thing is so hard to, like, figure out what exactly it is. Like, because obviously he passed. I don't know what, like, we know what that entails. He passed the test that they give him in the dressing room. But still, it still seems wrong that you would bring him back in that situation.
But don't you think we react differently?
Oh, yeah.
Because of the style of player?
Oh, yeah.
Because he's a grit-grinding, blue-collar, checker type that blocks shots and hits everything. It's almost as if him returning from that concussion is a badge of honor that we all support. Look how tough he is. He battles through concussion protocol, and he took that kind of hit. Where if it was any of the superstar players, we would immediately get defensive. And I'm speaking as myself, as a part of this, the media, the fan base, we'd be like screaming at the TV that Babcock allowed Matthews back on the ice. Screaming at the TV that he was even playing the next night in Detroit.
To be fair, that's not Babcock. That's the medical staff.
Right, but it's never Babcock.
And to be fair,
Babcock.
To Umada, there was like...
His stick got under his skate.
And it was accidental, and it wasn't anything vicious.
Totally.
It still should have been a penalty.
Who do we have else in the line?
It should have been a penalty. 416-870-1050. Text us 105050 with your name.
Who else we got?
We got a couple guys.
Let's go.
All right. Let's get to Chris.
Chris from?
The Hammer.
Hamilton. Hey. Let's go.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey, Chris.
All right. So, context. I have just redeployed with the military from Resolute Bay up in the Arctic.
Wow. Good man.
There for 5 weeks with no internet, no cell phone, no sports.
What?
So as Jeff seems to be on fine form today, my request is, Jeff, can you give me the Coles Notes version of everything that's happened in sports in the last 5 weeks?
The Coles Notes version of sports the last 5 weeks?
Mm. I can't wait to hear this.
Well, let's start with the Eagles won the Super Bowl.
Nice.
The Leafs are dominating in the NHL. They have secured a playoff spot. Nothing to worry about there. The Raps are the best team in the East. What do you think about that?
Very good.
Cleveland had a major shakeup, and they are once again looked at as a force in the NBA.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yes. They traded a bunch of people they thought were stiffs. Tom Brady seems to be coming back. For another season?
Yeah. I think we'll leave it there. That's pretty good. That's better than you thought you'd get, right?
Much.
All right. Well, welcome back. Thank you for your service.
All right, guys. Thanks.
See you, man. That's actually a pretty good job.
Yeah, you pulled that together pretty good.
Yeah, thanks. I pay attention. Anybody else?
Yeah, we got some more.
Go ahead.
We'll get to it.
Why you don't want to do this.
Because
we've
got other things to do. Fergie's coming up with a SportsCenter update. We've got to get to a traffic update.
Whatever happened to the dog collar of the day? Remember that?
The dog collar of the day?
We were going to do the one collar every day at 4:30.
Yeah, it's like everything else we come up with. We never do it.
We were going to do the low energy
Jeb Bush
Award.
But don't you think it's kind of fun? Like, it's just they ask a question and we kind of toss it around. It's content.
Yeah. Well, we need to rely on these guys, though, to screen properly. Like, that's a big part of it because we can't have guys calling in that aren't going to bring anything to the table. And I'm not saying that happened here. We've had two pretty good calls, but it's not easy peasy to get on the show. Right, Jonas?
You want good content, Jeff, not
just
content.
One more call before Ferg.
416-870-1050. We'll get back to the phone lines in 2 minutes. So spring training is just going swimmingly for the Blue Jays. It began with the Aaron Sanchez comments about his blisters and how there's no guarantees that he's ever going to be out of the woods on that. And then the Tulowitzki news that he's dealing with a bone spur issue in one of his heels and he may not be ready come opening day. Then Marcus Stroman and the arbitration case. And now Donaldson comes out and he's like, yeah, we're not even close on a conversation about a contract. And I'm assuming I'm going to be a free agent next year. Just from a PR standpoint alone, awful. Awful. We're a week in. Pitchers and catchers have not even been there for a week. And we're already just covered with negativity and pessimism. And
do you not think it's a situation where if you're upper management, like Ross Atkins or Shapiro, it's almost like they got to get down there and make some kind of press conference and say, what's your questions? You know, when the you-know-what hits the fan, the president, whoever, will usually say, okay, it's time. It's like it's already time.
I know. It's amazing. They haven't played any spring training games, let alone real games.
It's day three or four.
I know. And there's already all of this just negativity and anxiety hovering around the team that's permeating now throughout the fan base, and they're coming off a bad season anyway.
Yeah, they better be careful, because if they let this turn into a gong show, and then everyone's going to be calling for their heads.
Well, absolutely. They've been here for a couple of years.
That's right. And everyone's going to say, okay, what are you guys doing? No, thanks.
Now it's on. Like, let's go.
Yeah.
Tell us what the plan is, or at least start to execute the plan. Give us something to truly buy into. Because, like, a lot of people are focusing on the fact that there appears to be a bunch of teams in baseball that are openly tanking. Like, Tampa appears to be openly tanking.
Maybe now, Miami as well.
Miami's openly tanking. Tampa's openly tanking. Like, the two teams in Florida tanking. Like they just traded Odorizzi to the Twins. It sounds like they're going to be in on a couple of other players that they might end up moving between now and the beginning of the season. Tampa's expecting to be brutal, and Miami's going to be brutal. There's a couple of other teams. The Braves have kind of been doing that for a while. The Phillies and the White Sox did it openly last year. Yeah, the Royals. So there's a bunch of teams tanking. They can't all come out the right way. End of it. We know that from other sports. There's always a couple of teams that just never get back out of it.
No.
And I don't picture
the question, do you want to join in on a group tank where it's like not everybody can tank?
No. I don't think they will because of the payroll that they generally deal with.
Why not the Boston Bruins plan where you retool?
That's what I think is probably going to happen. But you've got to connect.
If you're retooling, is Josh Donaldson a part of your retool? Because he is in mine.
He is in mine as long as the price is right. Because even though there's no salary cap, there's still a budget. We know that, and it can be flexible. But every dollar does have to count in terms of the way you spread out the money for the rest of your team. And I think that's the holdup right now. And even Donaldson admitted to it. Like, it's been such a strange offseason. There have been so many quality players available for so long, and they just never got the money, or they haven't gotten the money yet. And next year, you've also got Harper and Machado who are going to be up. So he's kind of in a difficult spot himself, because the numbers that have come out this year are probably not ones that he wants to be used in terms of comparables for what kind of contract he would get. And he also has to understand Machado and Harper are going to get paid first, and they're going to get paid a lot more than he will. Even though he's a great player, they're 24 and 26. He's going to be 33.
Does that make you think then that there's a window that they could actually sign him? Like, use that anxiety and try to get him on, I don't know, a 3 or 4 year deal?
If they're committed to it, I think they could push it. But I think they're still in a position where if they were to do that, put that foot forward, they'd have to sell him on it. Because he doesn't have to sign anything right now. He's getting paid $23 million. If he goes out there and he's healthy and he puts up massive numbers, he can get a 3 or 4 year deal anywhere for probably the same amount of money. I think it's all about pressure points, and the Jays clearly have decided we're just going to let it play out. I think if they're terrible in June, they'll probably trade them.
And well, honestly, I told you what my buddy said. They're going to wait it out for 2 months, and if they're brutal, it's goodbye, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Way you go.
Well, and Shapiro and Atkins can say whatever they want, and no one's going to hold them to it anyway. Like, even if you ask them, like, do you really want Donaldson here long term? They're going to come back and be like, yeah, of course, we love Josh Donaldson. Yeah. Doesn't mean anything. They could still trade him tomorrow and come up with an explanation as to why their mind changed.
What do you guys buy of this idea that you have to do it, like you have to keep the team competitive for the fans? Like, I think they led the league in attendance in the AL for the second straight year, I believe. And so there's this idea that you got to keep giving the people.
I think in management, Jonas, you can't get tricked into the idea that you have to please the fans. You have to do what's best. And for years, For years, people in hockey said Toronto would never, that market would never stand a rebuild. But you know what? When somebody comes in and says, we're starting over, you start over. And the fans ultimately have nothing to, there's nothing you can do.
Fans were happy. They were like, finally. It's like, this is trying to keep the team like sort of competitive. Like, remember the J.P. Ricciardi years? Where they just had like this 80-ish, 75, 80 win team.
It's the same thing every year. Them and the Leafs were the same team.
Yes.
Well, I think it's disrespectful to the knowledge of your fans to suggest that they can't accept a down year or two.
But would the casual fans accept it?
Well, in terms of them actually showing up and spending money, no,
I think the
probably
casual
not.
Fan doesn't care. They just want to go twice to the ballpark, bring their kid, have a hot dog, drink a beer, and leave.
Yeah, that's probably right. They're still going to come two or three times. They won't come four or five times. Right, like if they're a really good team, it became the hottest ticket in town when they finally made it back to the playoffs.
The ballpark in Toronto is like a place to go now for young people.
And it's a crap ballpark. That's the funny thing.
Well, you can say what you want about it, but it's kind of the in place to be. Young people on a Friday night or a Saturday night.
So that's it.
They go to the Jays game and they have beers and it's like a social event.
But so then that's what they fear. People, like, if that fan suddenly comes twice instead of four times...
Jonas, the people in the stands, they're half in the bag. They've got social media going.
Yeah.
They're talking to people. Do you think they would look out there and say, oh, God, I'll never do this again. They lost to the Indians. I don't think so.
No, but I think that's what they're thinking.
Yeah, I think they should think that way, though.
But he's right. Obvious, they shouldn't think that way.
Yes, they should in terms of the actual gate and the amount of people that walk through it. If you're a losing team, like in September, not that many people were showing up. There weren't a ton of Tinder dates deciding to go to a Blue Jays game in September.
Is that what Tinder people do?
Well, I don't know. But they were out of it and they were terrible. Right. Like, there obviously was a significantly tangible difference between the amount of people that showed up and the buzz in the city when they were going to the playoffs those 2 years compared to this year and compared to the 20 years prior to it.
Well,
like, the thing is, the fan base, it hibernated for 20 years. It was still there, but they were watching from afar. They weren't necessarily as in tune in terms of what was happening.
20,000 to 30,000 fans.
They still did okay,
but not like 40 to 50.
No, and that's probably what would happen if they put together a couple of losing seasons where they were turning the roster over. They would not sell the amount of games that they did when they were winning. But you'll make it all back if you build a sustainable winner. They will come back in 3 or 4 years. And that's what was proven.
So
to
maybe they're thinking then that if we could just keep the team competitive for like a year, sort of, they're supposed to have one of the best farm systems in baseball. So then, like, maybe you transition to that farm system. You know what I mean? Like, maybe they're just thinking we can push this off until our prospects are ready and then it'll be fine.
By the way, there's no guarantee in anything kind of retool, rebuild. It's like the Maple Leafs. If Mitch Marner doesn't hit, if Nylander doesn't hit, and they don't get that lottery ball for Matthews, they're probably in a bit of a pickle now themselves.
Look at Buffalo. Look at Edmonton.
Exactly.
How about if they don't trade for Freddie Anderson?
There's like lots of variables that could...
Everything
the lottery ball goes one other place and Montreal gets it.
If you just look at kind of Shanny's decisions and track record of what's happened...
Oh, it's been almost flawless.
It's just outrageous.
Actually, it's crazy how lucky they've been in a lot of ways. Like, credit them for the plan and executing the plan.
He could, honestly, I think Shanny, of all people in sports, he could be like the Tim Leitwicki, where if somebody says, we got to rebuild in hockey, who should we get? Let's get Brendan Shanahan. Write a number on a check, and you can come here and do what you did in Toronto. Do it all.
He's got to get to the ultimate prize first, but you're right.
Oh, if he wins a cup, he'll be the most sought-after president in all of sports.
Okay, let's come back and get into that more. That's a great topic. A great topic.
I am so good today, and I want it to be so bad.
But you brought it, man. You're really having a good afternoon.
Right,
Jonas is even impressed.
Yeah, I'm impressed.
We've got Steve Phillips coming up.
We're friends again. And
James
we've got
Duffy's
a trivia coming up.
We've got some trivia.
Can I phone a friend during that?
No, it's a rapid fire between the two of you. Brian Stemmel from South Korea will join us.
He's a good fella.
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
We talked to him down at the hotel for the Special Olympics event.
Yeah, he's heavily involved in the Special Olympics. There's a really cool event going on, I believe, this weekend up at Blue Mountain.
Actually, we didn't talk to him. We talked to the bicycle guy with the hair.
Harnett.
Yes.
Yes, we spoke with him. But Stemmel, I think, was kicking around, too. He's a good man. Yeah. Mow Your Lawn Monday, next.
Hey, what's up?
How you doing?
Can you call you sometime, Pocahontas?
You got a number? Want some of this?
How about a little of that?
All right.
Mow Your Lawn Monday.
Brought to you by our good friends down at the Irv Pub, featuring a made-from-scratch menu and a great selection of local craft beer right in the heart of Cabbage Town. Stop by the Irv Pub and say hi to Regan and Jackie.
Curtis McElhaney. He wins all the time.
Macko Vezina.
And I think if he wheeled into a bar and said, I'm the Leafs' backup goalie and I win every game, he steals your chick.
I think he has 3 starts left the rest of the year. It's not a bad
gig.
They
kind of, they probably got to give him a little more.
I made the case last week. I think he should be playing a lot more because I'm worried about Freddie Anderson and the amount of minutes he's racking up. But as they continue to stay in the hunt. They're a point back of Boston and
four
back of Tampa.
You have an open conversation with Freddie Anderson saying, what do you need going into the playoffs? What kind of routine do you want? Because there's no sense of wasting you right now.
Yeah, that's my point. Exactly. I would go to him and try to have that conversation. But secondly, I would also make it known that I believe his health and his rest is the highest priority. But we talked about this last week. That's not the way Babcock is wired. He's not going to do that.
And maybe they're thinking like it's working. He's playing well mm-hmm. with this kind of workload.
And he's got the Vezina in his sights, at least a nomination.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to be known as the team that takes an opportunity away from a player.
Yeah.
He's not going to win it, but maybe he gets nominated. You got anybody else, Jonas?
Yeah, I was going to go Connor McDavid, but I'm changing that. And I'm going Blake Wheeler, back-to-back three-point nights. He's on pace for 93 points.
Mm-hmm. It seems really like we never talk about around that. On a Hart Trophy nomination.
He absolutely should be in the conversation.
If he played here, we'd be talking about him more.
Yeah, he should be in the conversation.
I think he went 20 games without a goal, or he had a drought recently. Anyway, who's yours, Brian?
I'll go with LeBron James. All-Star MVP. First guy to ever pick a winning All-Star team. That All-Star game actually was borderline entertaining in the fourth quarter. Borderline. And we got to get to the Fergie National Anthem audio.
She just murdered that anthem.
Talk about how Kevin Hart somehow is everywhere all the time and never leaves us alone. And just the whole, like, the theatrics of the All-Star game, it was strange all day yesterday.
Jimmy Butler
saying, I'm not playing because I'm so hungover. He didn't phrase it that way. Steve Phillips and James Duffy in studio in the next hour. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050.